Lord, you are everything. We praise you. We praise your holy name. We acknowledge you as our God, as our creator, as our sovereign, as the lover of our soul, as the sender of Jesus, as the provider of the Holy Spirit, which counsels and seals us. We acknowledge you as everything. And we are here to bring you honor and praise as we worship you. And we pray that you are glorified through us. We praise you for all you've done. We praise you for all you're doing and what you will do. I pray that you would continue to draw us closer together as a body and use us in this community in the name of Jesus. So bless us now as we open your word, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, let me just be very honest with you. I don't know how to be anything but. I'm a little bothered this morning. And I sincerely pray that my message doesn't come across too negative. Once again, we find one of our youth in rebellion, and it just bothers me. You know, part of me wants to punch the guy in the face. The other part of me just wants to hug him. I just feel like I swallowed a rock. It's just sitting in my gut. It's rebellion, and it's sin, and we know what it does, because that's our history, that's our past, that's where we came from. And this morning's, God is so good. You know, this morning's message is just so simple. And at the beginning of the week when I started putting this message together, I thought it would be kind of lame because it's just so simple. But now I see that this message is needed. It's truth. And it needs to be, we need to be reminded of this truth always. So in an effort not to be too lengthy this morning, I'm going to start by making an assumption. And I know what assuming does. I know what it does to both you and me. But there comes a time when we just need to grow up, right? We need to get rid of the bottle and start eating meat. So I don't feel like I need to constantly be proving the elementary tenets of our faith. So this morning I'm going to start with an assumption. And that assumption that I'm starting with is that the Bible is God's word. Okay? That's where I'm starting with that assumption. The Bible is God's word. I'm assuming that all of us believe that the Bible finds its origin in God. It is God's words to us for our lives, how to live, how to know him more and more deeply, how to find salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm assuming that all of us believe what the Bible says about itself, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So, with that assumption, I'm going to try to keep this a little bit shorter than it's been for the past few weeks. But still, I'm going to start with a question because I'm always going to ask you to think. And the question is, by what standard do you live your life? By what standard do you live your life? And that question should be very simple for Christians, but I want you to think about it and be careful because I want you to think about what we do as modern-day Americans and even modern-day Christians. For example, the framers of this great nation wrote a document that we refer to as the Constitution. They debated over that document. Our nation went to war with England over that document. Great men and women died over that document we call the Constitution. It is the basis, it is the standard, it is the foundation on which our country is built. The Constitution is the standard on which all the laws are built, under which we live. But today, approximately 223 years later, our legislators are not seeking to legislate under the standard of the Constitution, but they're instead trying to change the Constitution to meet our needs, right? I mean, we're smarter now than we used to be, aren't we? I mean, they were just yahoos 200 years ago, but, you know, what worked then doesn't work now. Things have got to change, right? I mean, is that the legacy that this generation is leaving for following generations? You don't have to submit to anything. You can do whatever you want. If you don't like it, change it. We don't want a constitution that's so black and white anymore. We want one that's gray, all gray, so we can't be held accountable to live a certain way. We want the freedom to live any way we want, even if that means changing the ideals on which this country was built. Now, in the same way, God's principles, his rules for living, man, they may have worked 2,000 years ago, but things are different today. They were yahoos back then, and we're smart now, right? If you've seen a movie called The Pirates of the Caribbean, in that movie, there's the Pirate Code. And the Pirate Code was the pirate law under which pirates were supposed to live and fight. But they kept bending the rules, breaking the rules, and they referred to the Pirate Code as more of a guideline. And I think we today, we consider God's rules, God's standard for living, as more of a guideline. It's more of a guideline. You may choose to live God's way, and it may work for you, but you know what? You can choose to live any way you want to live. Everything's relative, right? I mean, that seems to be the modern-day mindset. And people come to me, they come to my office for counseling, and I will open the Bible, and we'll talk about what the Bible says on any certain subject. And they leave to fall right back into the same problems because they want to do it their way and not God's way. One way works and one way doesn't. But people most often seem to choose to live broken lives in a broken system because at least there they have freedom to choose, don't they? But in all honesty, they have no freedom there. They are enslaved and in bondage to sin. It seems most Americans today, they don't care about being great. They don't really care about being good. They just want to be better than the next guy. Our nation doesn't have to be a great nation anymore. It just has to be better than the next couple of nations. But what people don't realize is that God doesn't reward us for being better than the next guy as we choose to live in mediocrity. God judges based on his righteous standard, which is perfection. And whether we choose to accept God's standard or not, his standard stands as the standard for all of eternity. In fact, it is the standard by which we will be judged. We can't change it. It will never change. Because we can't change God, he will never change. The truth is simply this. Take it or leave it. Submit or die. Submit or die. Our need this morning is to constantly be evaluating our lives in light of God's righteous standard. There is a way that is perfect. There is a way that is holy and pleasing to God, but it's his way and not our way. So open your Bibles with me this morning to Amos chapter 7 as we are continuing through the book of Amos. Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. As I simply ask the question, how does your life measure up in light of God's word? How does your life measure up in light of God's word? Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9 is today God is going to give us the imagery of a plumb line by which we are to live our lives because it is the very plumb line by which we will be judged. God is the master plumber. Now, I didn't say he's a master plumber. I said he's the master plumber. He's not in your backyard digging up pipes and dealing with your waste. God instead is the master plumber holding the plumb line in his hand, the plumb line by which everything and everyone is measured against, the plumb line by which we are judged. God is the master plumber, and this morning is simply Plumbing 101. So please open your Bibles and we'll read together Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Now, this is the third vision that God has given Amos. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the first two visions. If you remember, in the first vision, God gave Amos the vision of a coming locust plague that would infest and destroy the nation of Israel. And Amos interceded on behalf of the nation. He screamed out, "Forgive!" And the Lord relented. Then we have a second vision. That vision was of a fire that would dry up the great deep and devour the land. It would destroy the nation of Israel. And again, Amos the prophet interceded on behalf of the nation, and he cried out, "Stop!" And again, the Lord relented. Now God is giving Amos a third vision. But this vision leaves the prophet speechless. He doesn't try to intercede on behalf of the nation. In fact, this time he realizes he can't. What is the vision that caused Amos to remain silent? It was the vision of a plumb line. The vision of a plumb line. Okay, so what is a plumb line? Well, a plumb line is a string or cord with a heavy weight on the end. This is a plumb line right here. Got this from D at True Value. Builders would use these, and still use these, in order to make sure that a wall is perfectly vertical, straight up and down. They would hang it from the top, and they would see if the top matches up with the bottom, to see if it's true, to see if it's straight. A modern equivalent of the plumb line would be a level, right? We use a level all the time and hang in pictures to make sure things are level, a plumb line. So as a builder is building a wall, they would make sure it's plumb. After time has passed and the wall has settled, again, we're talking big walls here. People get on top of the wall with a plumb line, they drop the line, and they see if the top and the bottom still measure up. Again, if the wall is straight, if it is plumb, if it is true. And if the wall was not straight up and down, if the wall was not found to be true, but it was leaning, making the wall weak and unsteady, what would they do with the wall? They would tear it down and rebuild it. Now let me ask you very simply, of what use is a wall that is leaning, weak, and unsteady? It's useless. It's useless. You tear it down. So God is giving Amos this third vision, and he starts this vision with a contrast. I mean, he's making his point very, very clear. The contrast is between, he starts with something that is true, that is plumb, that is straight, and he moves from something that's perfectly straight to something that is perfectly crooked. Verse 7 again. This is what he showed me. Who? The Lord, the sovereign Lord, the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the ruler of the heavenly armies. He is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, he is sovereign. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord was standing next to a wall. God was standing next to a perfectly straight wall with a plumb line in his hand, measuring the wall to see if it was vertically true. And it's interesting here because the Lord asks Amos, he says, "What do you see, Amos?" And he didn't say, "Well, Lord, I see you, and woo, you're looking good. You've been working out?" No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Well, Lord, I saw you standing next to a wall, and it's the most perfect wall I've ever seen. It's the most perfectly straight and beautiful wall ever built in the creation of the universe. Can I get those blueprints?" No, he doesn't say that. "What do you see, Amos?" He says, "I see a plumb line. I see a plumb line." Now, I don't know how this stood out so bright in the eyes of Amos, but that's what he saw, a plumb line. That was the emphasis. You see, God is the creator of all. He created the earth and the heavenly bodies. Everything that was created by him. God knows how to build. He's standing in this vision. He's standing next to a perfect wall, showing it to be perfect next to his plumb line. He's measuring the wall, or we could say judging the wall, same thing. And the wall is shown to be straight, strong, and true. Now, in contrast to the perfect wall, we find, as we keep going in verse 8, "Then the Lord said, 'Look, I'm setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer.'" God is holding the plumb line against his people. He's measuring his people, and they are way off. God, the creator of all, is also the creator of the nation of Israel, started through one man, Abraham, right? The nation Israel was built true. It was built on the solid foundation of God's law given to the people at Mount Sinai. The nation started well. It had a firm foundation. It started good. But in time, the nation had settled. The nation was leaning dangerously away from God. They were crumbling. They were no longer true to God's divine standard of measurement. And what do you do with a wall that's leaning dangerously? You tear it down. You tear it down. Why? Because it's useless. Now, remember that the theme here in Amos is that God cares how we treat each other. I mean, he's basically said that again and again. God cares how we treat each other. As we've been reading through Amos, we've seen God mention again and again what's going on in the land of Israel. There's a lack of justice. There's enslavement of their own people. There's oppression. There's godlessness. There's idolatry. God cares. And this was God's people. In Isaiah 28:17, God says, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. Justice is the measuring line and righteousness is the plumb line. Justice, righteousness, and that's what God was measuring the people against. Justice and righteousness. It was God's law. God gave the law to his people, and he said, you're mine. Show the world who I am through your justice and your righteousness. Obey me. If you obey me, you'll be blessed. I mean, God said in Genesis 12:2, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God said, I will build this nation. God made them. God built them. God built them into a great nation. They had a solid foundation. They had a good start. But they turned from God. They leaned away from him and they became untrue. They became useless to him. And what do you do with something that is untrue? You tear it down. You tear it down. See, now you can save the foundation. The foundation may still be good, but you tear the wall down and then you rebuild on the same foundation. What do you do with a wall that's leaning, that's weak, that's unstable? You tear it down. What could Amos the prophet say to this? I mean, God is not some arbitrary judge who punishes on a whim. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and his chosen people who were chosen to represent God on earth were way off. They were off. They became useless. He was going to tear them down, and he had every right to do so. Verse 9, the high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam. So what we find now is God sets the plumb line here against three different entities, or three different aspects in the nation of Israel. First, he sets the plumb line against the high places. God measured the high places. The high places were shrines on the open hills of outside, on the countryside, in the countryside of Israel. This is where the people went to sacrifice and worship false gods. In fact, in the Old Testament, high places are almost always associated with evil and idolatry. Psalm 78:58 says, they angered him with their high places, they aroused his jealousy with their idols. In fact, God told them very matter-of-factly in Leviticus 26:30 that he would destroy their high places. He would not put up with them. Let me read this very quickly. Leviticus 26:30 says this, I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols. I will abhor you. If that doesn't send chills up your spine, I don't know what will. Woo! God's spelling it out. And now, he said it, and now he's going to do it. They were measured and they were found untrue. God first measured their high places against his plumb line. And he says they will be destroyed. Secondly, God measures their sanctuaries against his plumb line. The sanctuaries, these were the temples located in Bethel and Dan. This term can also refer to all the religious sites in the nation of Israel. Think of all the churches in that time in the nation of Israel. God was holding his plumb line up to the church. And as we've talked about before, these were religious people, very religious, but they worshiped God incorrectly. They were going through the motions outwardly, but they were far from God on the inside. Remember chapter 5. Let me read through these verses quickly again. Chapter 5, starting in verse 21. God says, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. God says, I've had it. He's holding the church up to his plumb line, and he says, no more. You know, God ordained one man, Solomon, to build his house, the temple in Jerusalem. And he said that all sacrifices offered to him outside of the temple of Jerusalem were unacceptable. Everything they did religiously in the northern nation of Israel was unacceptable. It was off. It was useless. And it says here, it would be ruined. It would be ruined. Number three, God not only measured the high places, not only measured the sanctuaries, but he also measured the house of Jeroboam. If you remember chapter 1, verse 1, Jeroboam was the king of Israel at this time. This is referring to the dynasty of Jeroboam, the dynasty of the king, the royalty in the land. God was holding the royalty in the land up to his plumb line here. You see, the king, the leader of the land, the commander-in-chief, he was responsible for justice in the nation among his people. But God held his plumb line up next to the king to find that he too had strayed too far from God's standard. He too was found to be untrue, and God himself here says that he would wield the sword against the house of the king. And of course, this happened when Jeroboam's son and his successor, Zechariah, were assassinated, 2 Kings chapter 15. God was judging the nation of Israel against his perfect standard, and the nation was found to be untrue. The nation was found to be wanting. They had fallen away from God. And God was going to act in judgment, tearing down what is useless, tearing down the wall that was his nation, bringing destruction, bringing ruin. In fact, we find here that God himself would wield the sword. God was right. I mean, what could Amos say? God was right. God has every right. God is the perfect judge, and quite honestly, he wouldn't be so perfect if he didn't judge the evil among his people. God held the plumb line in his hand. There was a standard in Israel. The people couldn't change it. No one could change it. It was a righteous standard in the righteous hand of a righteous God, and they were measured against that standard. And you know what? God is still holding the plumb line in his hand, but now he's measuring us. Which leads to my last big point here. God's plumbing in your life. God's plumbing in your life. I mean, how does our nation measure up to God's standard? We know our nation is off. We know it's way off, but how far off? Is it too far off? How does our state measure up to God's plumb line? How does our county measure up? How does this church measure up if God held his plumb line up next to this church? How does our households, how do we measure up in our households? How do our marriages measure up to God's righteous standard? Our lives that we have supposedly given to him and through Jesus, how do we measure up? The plumb line is in his hands. And what God finds to be useless, he tears down. You see, comparing ourselves to the next guy does no good. I can compare myself next to that guy, and then we both wind up in hell, you know? Comparing ourselves to the next guy does no good, as we are to compare ourselves to God's standard, his righteous standard, which is perfection. Perfection. God is the holy plumber. He holds the plumb line in his hands. He sees if we're level. But now, since we're in New Testament era after Christ, now since we are Christians in the church, now what are we being measured against? Well, we're no longer under the law, so we're not measured against the law. You see, Jesus perfectly satisfied the requirements of the law so that now, and by the grace of God, we are made righteous in Christ. So we can say now that if you are a Christian saved by the grace of God through your faith in Jesus, now, if you are to be true, if you are to be plumb with God's plumb line, there's only one way to do it, and that's to be built on the foundation that is Jesus. It is to be built on the foundation that is Jesus. Justice and righteousness are still God's requirements. You see, God doesn't change. He is just, he is righteous, he requires justness and righteousness. But you see, justice and righteousness no longer, they no longer come through the law. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." We're not justified. We don't become just. We don't become righteous by observing the law. We become righteous because of our faith in Jesus Christ. These requirements, justice and righteousness, they no longer come through the law. They come through the God-man Jesus, because only through him do we become the righteousness of God. That's exactly what we talked about last week in Romans chapter 1. And we find it all through the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Why did Jesus become sin for us? Why did Jesus go to the cross for us? Why did Jesus atone for our sins? So that, for the purpose of, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him. In him. In him. You see, God still tears down shabby people, and God still tears down shabby walls. But now shabby people can become righteous in Jesus, and untrue people can become true in Jesus. You see, he is the master builder. Jesus is the master builder. There was a time when a useless wall was destroyed. There was a time when a useless people were torn down. But now, you see, useless people become useful in Jesus. Now, untrue walls become true in Jesus. He's the master builder. Unholy people become holy. Unrighteous people become righteous. Now the wall isn't trash. Now the wall is saved. It's made perfect in Jesus. He is the master builder. And as Christians who have submitted to Jesus as our Savior, as Christians who have given our lives to God through the sacrifice of Jesus and who have been indwelt with the Spirit, now, how do we know what God wants for us? Okay, this is a simple message. There's no trick questions. How do we know what God wants for us? How do we know how to live true according to God's plumb line, his righteous standard? It's right here. It's God's word. It's the Bible. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, right? Psalm 119, 105, it's God breathed. The Bible finds its origin in God. These are his words to us, to know him, to relate to him, to know how to relate to him through Jesus, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. I mean, did Jesus not say in Matthew 4:4 that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God? We live. And I'm not talking about living. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about joy and purpose. I'm talking about everything that God has for us. That kind of life, it comes as we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, our lives are in plumb with God's standard, his plumb line, when we live by the Spirit of God, when we build our lives on the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and as we seek to follow his will and his way, which is laid out for us in his word. in your Bibles is God's very words to you. God's plumbing in your life. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. This has always been the problem, but it just seems so much more apparent today because I guess we're alive and we can see it happening today. The real problem is our unwillingness to submit. It's a lack of submission. Our unwillingness to submit because if we are here in sin and God is here in holiness and there's this giant gulf between us, something's got to change. Something's got to change. And we work so hard to change everybody else and everything else, and still we have this big hole in us. It doesn't seem to work. I mean, will we ever learn that lesson? We refuse to submit. We refuse to submit to the Constitution of our country. It's proven itself to work for 200 years, but forget that thing. Change it. We don't like the law, change the law. You don't like the policies in your workplace, change the policies in your workplace. You know, God forbid that we have to change. But that's exactly what submission is. It's submission is changing yourself or allowing yourself to be changed as you seek to live under authority. It's allowing yourself or changing yourself so that you can live under authority. But the problem is today is no one wants to live under authority. Everybody wants to be the authority. You know, the framers of our Constitution spelled it out for us. They said, our Constitution will work as long as our nation is a godly nation. Why? Because godly people are people of submission. And when you leave God, you rebel, and rebellion won't work. You know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but this is true. Women marry men with the intent to change them, not with the intent to submit to them. It's everywhere. I mean, same can be said of my wife. I see her back there looking at me. We try to change everything. And let me be honest. You know, there are some things in this world that need to be changed. I mean, come on. I mean, we as Christians, as godly people, are to work to eradicate evil, to end oppression, to stand in the gap and intercede between God and this world so that he will stamp out evil in our lives and sin in our lives and sin in our communities. I mean, these things need to be changed. But the world in sin rebels against what is God, what is good. The world in sin rebels against God and refuses to acknowledge his authority. People don't like God, so they start their own religions. They strip down naked and go sing around a tree. You know, they don't like God's word, so they get their white out and they just start changing everything like they want. They think they can just change it. They think they're little gods. The problem is they do. But you know what? There are some things in this world that you can't change, and the very things that we can't change are the very things that we will be judged by when we pass from this world into eternity and stand before God. You don't change God. He doesn't change. And if those people realized how much God loved them and how much he wanted the best for them, they wouldn't try to change him. They would just give in and submit. We, as Christians, are to be image bearers of our Lord Jesus as we submit to him, as we live for him, being renewed in the knowledge of the image of our Creator. Colossians 3:10, day by day, being renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. Rebellion is the lack of submission. Rebellion brings judgment. Submission brings life. God has a plumb line by which we will be judged. This message this morning is so incredibly simple, and I'm trying not to complicate it. God, the Creator, is the judge who measures everything against himself and his revelation. And at one time, God's standard of measurement was the law given through Moses at Mount Sinai. And against the standard of God's law, the judge with plumb line in hand held the plumb line up against his people. They were found to be untrue. They were found to be out of plumb. They were found to be useless, and they were torn down. Now, God's revelation of himself to the world is found in Jesus. Jesus is God's revelation to the world. He is fully God, yet fully man. Jesus said, how many times did he say, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. If you see him, you see him. Oh, but they rebelled. Now God's revelation to his people is Jesus. And this is, again, really simple, so please hear this. You either accept Jesus as your Savior in faith, and when you pass from this world, you stand before God, and you are either judged in Jesus by our faith, and you're found to be perfect as he is perfect, or you're judged in contrast to Jesus, and you're shown to be disgustingly ugly in sin in comparison to his purity, goodness, and righteousness. When you stand before the judgment seat, you're either in Christ or you're not. You're either in Christ or you're not. And in Christ, we're found to be perfect because he is perfect. God is measuring our nation. God is measuring our communities. God is measuring our lives against his perfect standard. And you know, I don't need to say this, but one day when the time is right, God is going to hold the plumb line of his righteousness up against this world. He's going to find the world to be untrue, the world to be useless, and Jesus is going to return, not as Savior, but warrior king to destroy. And if you're still found here, you will be destroyed. So the truth is you measure up to this or you don't. The truth is God has a standard that he spelled out for us again and again and again and again as he seems to repeat himself because it's important. There's a standard, and if we don't meet this standard, we will be destroyed. There's a youth in our church who is rebelling against us right now. I ache for him. He thinks his way is the right way. He knows God's way, and he's rejecting it. And if he continues in his rejection, he will be destroyed. And you know, the elders in this church, we're not perfect people. We got our problems, man. We try to live according to this every day, and we fail. But God has placed us here to be guardians, if you will, of doctrine, of Scripture, to be guardians of your lives, seeking to help you live according to this. And when God through us judges you to be untrue, it's our responsibility, it's our duty to go to you and say, smarten up. But what happens when we come to you and come to you and come to you and you continue in rejection? We say there's the door. You got a choice. We all have a choice. But as you make your choice, I'm telling you, there's a standard of measurement in God's hands and you will be judged against it. How does your life measure up to this? How does your life measure up to this? It's the same thing. This is the plumb line. Is your life straight? Is it true? Are you level? Or are you on the winding path, the crooked path? Is your life out of plumb? Are you in sin? One brings blessing and one brings judgment. And what do you choose? Because it all boils down to submission or rebellion. God's standard is not relative. It doesn't change from decade to decade or millennium to millennium. It doesn't change from country to country. Man, this plumb line stands true. It has stood true. It will continue to stand true. It is eternal. It is eternal. God doesn't change, so this doesn't change. This is eternal. So, in closing, let me just make this very clear. What has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? What has changed? Has this changed? The answer is no. God's standard is still righteousness. God's standard is still justice. God has never changed. He will never change, so his standard never changes. I'll tell you what has changed is the way that we relate to God and find perfection. In the Old Testament, God gave the people the law and said, "This is my standard. It is perfection. Now measure up." You have to be physically perfect in order to be spiritually perfect. Go do it. Now, after the incarnation of the God-man, who was the perfect fulfillment of the law, who was perfect in every way, in him there was no sin, who died as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, now God says, here's my standard of measurement. It's the same. It's always been the same. It will never change. It is righteousness. It is justice. It is perfection. But now, you don't have to do it physically because Jesus did it for you physically. Now, all you have to do is place your faith in him. His sacrifice covers your sins, and now you're spiritually perfect. You measure up spiritually in Jesus. When God judges you, he will see his son. He won't see you. But the kicker is, the thing you have to realize is in Christ, even though we don't measure up physically, because we're a new creation, because the Spirit's inside of us, because we have this conviction, we want to. And you work at it. We work every day to measure up to this. And when we fail, we fall on our knees in repentance and say, Lord, forgive me. But you know what? Spiritually, we measure up. We're in plumb because of Jesus. So I close speaking about the submission of our Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard. Why? Because of his reverent submission. Well, as the praise team comes up, let me just say once again that there is a way, but it's not your way. It's God's way. There's a whole world out there trying to do it their way. There's a whole world out there who are in rebellion, outright rebellion. It is hard, cold-hearted hate against the God that loves them so completely. And I honestly don't know why they hate God so much. You know, I was filled with hate. I was there, and maybe it's because we're not in control. Maybe it's because we don't have any authority. But I'm telling you right now, if you're still trying to do it your way, there is a way, and it's God's way. There is one standard. There's one plumb line by which we will all be judged, and it's God's. And the only way to be plumb, to be saved, to be righteous, to find justice is in Jesus. And if you've never accepted Lord Jesus as your Savior, then today is the day of your salvation. We can't measure up apart from him. It is impossible to measure up apart from him. You're either in him, having submitted your life, believing that he is who he is, who he said he was, and that he did what he said he did, that he died for you, he was buried, and he resurrected in power. And now his resurrection is our promise for the future, because we are told that when we see him, we will be as he is. And how is he? He's alive. And for those who are Christians who have submitted your life to Christ, remember, it's a life of submission. It's a life of submission. It's a daily submitting to Jesus. It is an hourly submitting to Jesus. How fast we get off track and how fast we want to do things our way and we try to take charge. Now, you know, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I think that's apparent in the Bible. But you know what? When we as Christians start to lean, we find judgment in our lives until we repent and come back. But now, praise God, in Jesus, leaning walls aren't torn down. They're mended. That's the power of our Lord and Savior. Is there anyone who needs a special prayer? Please come forward as myself and the elders are here for you.
Please stand.